Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A great day to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm so excited to be here and for your pastor giving me the honor to share the pulpit this morning. I love this church. I love the great work that you're doing, and I'm going to tell you the most favorite thing about this church is that beautiful cross right there.
Amen.
Well, the second favorite thing, the first favorite thing is the people of this church. Amen?
Amen.
I will try not to be long. Your pastor asked me if there was anything I wanted to share. I said, no, I'm just Kathy Mitchell. And so I ask that you will pray with me, but I will begin with my scripture, chosen scripture for today. And I will be reading from the Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter, the 4th through the 11th verse. And as you are able, would you please stand as it serves as our gospel lesson. And it reads, John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Dear God, loving and merciful, we come thankful as we celebrate the baptism of the Lord Sunday. As I stand before your people, strengthen me. Use me, O God, as your vessel right now. I pray, O God, that you will open not only the ears of this congregation, but also their hearts and their minds. Let your word be a burning fire today in our souls that is not extinguished at the benediction, but carried out into the world like the light of Christ, putting our faith into action. If we are open to no other words today, at least let us be open to the word right now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
The title of the message today is Take Me to the River. There is a book, and I haven't read the book, but I've read excerpts about the book and one day want to, but it's called The Patron Saint of Liars by a young author named Ann Patchett. It is a story about a woman named Rose Clinton and her daughter, Cecilia. They both live at St. Elizabeth's Home for Unwed Mothers in Kentucky. And this woman, Rose, is the cook, and she's been there for years, and she has a 15-year-old daughter by the name of Cecilia. And Cecilia is the love of the household. She's grown up there, she's been spoiled, and she has been mothered by the young women who will come to be nurtured through their pregnancies and give up their babies for adoption. One day she meets one of the girls who is new in the home, And she says to this young girl named Lorraine, who is skinny and about to have a nervous breakdown because she's there on her first day and is going to have her interview with Mother Corinne, the nun in charge. So Cecilia, being the loving person that she is, decides that she wants to help this young lady out and give her some advice. So she says to her, "Don't tell Mother Corinne that the guy who got you pregnant is dead. That's what they all say." And it makes Mother Corinne crazy. Lorraine was sitting on her hands and she says to her, "Thanks for telling me, because that's exactly what I was gonna say." "So what do I tell her?" And Cecilia says proudly, "Tell her the truth. You'd be better off to tell her you don't remember, or either the truth, but don't say he's dead." So Lorraine sits there and she thanks Cecilia for the advice. And Cecilia is so very proud of herself. And Lorraine looks at Cecilia and she says, "What did you tell her?" And Cecilia is stunned because she is not one of them. She's 15, she's a virgin, and everybody loves her. And she feels like she's not a sinner. Cecilia feels sick because nobody has ever confused her for one of them. She said the lobby felt small and airless. She said, "I thought I was going to pass out." You know, we feel this way sometimes when there are people that have done worse things that we have done, people that have been thieves or persons that have been in prison for murder. We feel like because we have not done those things that we are not sinners. But we are reminded that we are sinners, all who are in need of the grace of Jesus Christ. And I think about, as we celebrate the baptism of the Lord Sunday, we think about how we don't always admit that in some way that we are all sinners. In some ways that we don't always tell the truth. Sometimes we're stirring up confusion among other people at work and sometimes at church. Sometimes we don't think about, we have been in the shoes of people like Cecilia. Maybe we are not people who are adulterers, and maybe people that are not thieves, yet still we are people that are sinners. Now Jesus, on the baptism of the Lord day, does something very different than Cecilia. Jesus comes along and shows up to the Jordan to be baptized by John, the place where sinners are in line, hoping that John will clean them up and their lives will be turned around. If you have ever read the arrest record in the paper, you know that there are all kinds of people. There are drunk drivers and people that have written bad checks and petty larceny and assault. Some are notorious sinners and some are just persons that have had crimes of the heart. Nevertheless, just like them, we too are sinners. They had come to be clean, and they knew they were not clean. And Jesus shows up and steps in line with them to be baptized. Jesus doesn't announce who he is. No one knew anything about him, yet he simply took his place in the line. After the heavens were torn apart and the voice from heaven were made clear, there was a lot of controversy. Many would have expected Jesus, like Cecilia, not to be associated with those in the line. Many would have thought that he would have just showed up and said, "Hey, John, let me give you a break and take your place." Many would have thought that he would have been the nice, great people like we are in church, and maybe we would have stood by and assisted John and helped them into the water, but never would we have taken our place and stood in line as if we were one of them. This is what makes me love the Lord so much. Because sometimes we have guilt of being who we are or what we have done. And even though we don't share it with anybody, to know that somebody thinks that they are no better than us is quite comforting. Even if he were innocent, even if the intentions were nothing but good, it was not good for his reputation to have taken his place in that line. You see, the problem, we spend a lot of time in church talking about God's love for sinners, but we do a lot of trouble not to be mistaken for one. We're willing to serve them and feed them and say that we've done great things in our ministry as long as we are not mistaken for them. The point of today's message is that Jesus was teaching us as a church, we're all in it together. It doesn't matter when we come to accept Christ, when we come to accept Christ as our Lord and to become a part of the body, but we are all in it together. When we confess our sins, we do not simply confess our own personal sins. We kneel and talk to God about the sins of all humankind as a people, have done and failed to do, all the ways we have fled from the love of God because we are afraid to see, known, and be changed. And when we celebrate the gift of new life, we do not do it simply for ourselves. It is important that we let people know that we are in this together. When we baptize either adults or infants in the United Methodist Church, and when we repeat the liturgy saying that we will be a part of their nurturing and growing in Christ, we need to let them know that we're not only in prayer for them, but we are one of them, that we do not judge them, but let them know that the love of Christ has the ability to do all things to make us better day by day. When we invite newcomers to step into the river with Jesus so that their beings are wrapped up with other beings and our beings, we're in this thing together. People don't understand, as we have 74 churches in the United Methodist Church in the district of Spartanburg. And one of the questions that people continually ask me is, how can I help you? How can you get us to grow our worship attendance? When we look at statistics that tell us that what is going on in our community and what people want and what they need, what they say is, it's great when churches are serving us, when they have food pantries and all of these things, but what we want most of all is to feel like we belong, that we are not someone that comes to be served, but someone that comes and is invited in to be a part of the family of God. And when we do that, our church begins to grow. Even if they never become members, they want to become a part of us because we have stepped into the water with them and made them feel like Jesus, like we don't mind them being one of us and we don't mind being one of them as a people of God, growing in Christ. I am so thankful for what you are doing here and what you are doing in your community. And I often share with people the ministry that you are doing with the children at Welford Academy, not just because you are sending things, but that because you are engaging them, engaging their family. That's what God calls us to do when God says, step into the water.
Amen.
With other people.
Praise God.
You need to step into the water with the people on your job. You don't need to tell them about how great your church is and they need to visit on Sunday morning. They need to be able to see the Jesus Christ in you that makes them feel like one of the most important people in the world.
Amen.
The people that are your neighbors that may not be the kindest people, we need to show kindness. We need not to condemn, but be like Christ and step into the water with them. Christ calls us to do these types of things. Whenever we are thinking about these newcomers, we need to do so that their beings are wrapped up in ours, and the well ones and the hurt ones and the brave ones and the weak ones and the successful ones and the ones that feel like nothing they ever touch comes out right is the people we need to be stepping into the water with. As God's people, the church, we are called to remember that the Lord took us to the river in baptism and now expects each of us to step into the water with those who come to be a part of us, to step in the water alongside them. When there are those among us who are in need, they should be able to come to us, come to you and I, because it is not just their problem, but our problems, and not know that we don't mind standing in the water with them. As God's own, I need to know that my brothers and sisters in Christ that I can depend on will step into the water with me. Each of you are ministers in Christ. And I am just like your pastor. I loved all the churches that I pastored and did the very best and asked God to use me. And I thought sometimes that the church, if I wasn't there, that, you know, things were just going to fall apart. And on one Sunday morning, a month, 4 or 5 weeks after my father died, and I was preparing on Sunday to return to church. And I'm one of those people, and I got a habit, understanding and probably knowing your pastor, that he does the very same thing. Whenever I was going to be on vacation, I was always planning everything in advance, the worship services, and making things that show that everything would go in order. And as this Sunday morning, I decided that I would change things around to make my dad's room look much more lively so that we wouldn't be so sad. And as I went to Walmart and walked around, I began to have pains in my side. And the more that I walked, the more I was almost unable to walk. But God, I didn't even think about, I was close to the hospital. I drove all the way back into the country only to get into the house and lay on the couch and be painful and lie on the floor. And my mother said, "Do we need to call an ambulance?" And I said, "Yes, you do." She said, "Or would you like for me to take you?" I said, "You're going to have to call an ambulance because I can't get up." Only to find myself in the hospital, emergency room, a few hours later. Finding myself in the emergency room with a doctor standing over me to tell me that just in a few hours, they would be taking me into surgery, emergency surgery. And when I came out of surgery, that I would have a colostomy bag. And my question would be, would it be permanent? And the doctor said, "We're not sure at this point." And I was terrified. But even in the midst of that, I was sitting there thinking, I'm supposed to be back in the pulpit next week. I haven't done everything I was supposed to do. I usually prepare the Bible studies and I usually do all of these things. But you know what? The people of the church had been stepping in the water for a long time, even before I was born. And because they trusted Christ, they didn't feel that they were unworthy to step up and do the work in ways of planning and doing those things. And they stepped into the water with me. And when I got back, Pastor, and I was trying to get there, they were fussing because I needed to go home and take care of myself. I had been to the church too long. We thank God for people like you that are willing to step into the water with us. Stepping into the water doesn't mean just praying for people. It doesn't mean just serving people. It means making people feel like family. And as we remember that that's what baptism does, it initiates us into the household of God, the people that become our family in Christ. We all must remember that our baptism means today. All of us have come to the altar either in our mother's arms or on our own. We got into the water with Jesus and all his flawed kin. There is not a chance that we will be mistaken. There is always a chance that we will be mistaken for them. We need to hear the words of the baptismal covenant over and over and over again. When I am down on my last, I don't just need prayers. I need someone to take me to the water and step in with me. Maybe those that have been there before, those that have not been there before. When I'm experiencing grief, I don't need just prayers. I need someone to take me to water and comfort me, not just during the time of visitation, but also in the days to follow and maybe even a year after. When sometimes when ministry meetings get a little rough, I don't need for the church to run, but to take me to the river and step in until the waves subside. When you feel alone, depressed, and as if no one cares, you don't need just prayers. You need someone to say everything's gonna be all right. We need to do something different today, just like Jesus. Today, because we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, we should give thanks that Jesus, knowing the sinful persons that we were and would be, that loved us so much that he was willing to step in the water with us. We've got to step up in prayer and action to support those that are trying to make a difference in the church, in the world, and in the church worldwide. Know that Jesus loves us, and our job is to consider how we might step into the water with those that desire such a relationship with Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.